This episode of Dollars and Cents is brought to you by T-Mobile Puerto Rico, Walmart Puerto Rico, and Amy Taylor Fernandez voiceovers.
Hi, everybody. This is Michelle Cantro-Vasquez, host of Dollars and Cents, a News is My Business podcast. With us is Aurelio Alemán, President and Chief Executive Officer of First Bank Corp, to discuss two major events the bank announced this week, which are the acquisition of Banco Santander's assets in Puerto Rico and the release of third quarter results. It was announced yesterday that First Bank will be purchasing Santander's assets in Puerto Rico, which include 27 branches and about 1,000 employees. It wasn't mentioned yesterday, but would you be able to talk about what your plans are for both?
Well, you know, first of all, you know, we're definitely very excited to announce this transformational transaction for our company. We view these transactions as the opportunity to become a much larger competitor in Puerto Rico, to grow our franchise across all the products and services that we do today, bring in, you know, an excellent group of resources and talent, bring in, you know, a larger base of clients. We will be increasing the scale of the company and competitiveness by expanding our commercial sector, actually within that small business and middle market. We'll be expanding branches, you know, with the 27 branches that come in across the island. We'll have a larger mortgage portfolio. And we'll increase also market share in personal loans and credit cards. So you know, we would like to view this transaction as something very strategic in the long term that give us the ability, when you add two banks, that 1 + 1 becomes 3.
Okay.
That is really our goal here, how we can grow, how we can, you know, invest in the capital in Puerto Rico. Make us, you know, a larger institution and a better competitor.
So you foresee keeping the branches and the employees that come over from Santander?
Yeah, we're bringing 1,000 employees, 27 branches. We are starting now. We'll start in a few weeks. To remember, this transaction has to go to a regulatory approval process, which is customary of these transactions. While that process takes place, we're gonna start, you know, meeting with our partner and designing and deciding how the new institution will look like. At the end of the day, yes, there will be some synergies and there will be some expense saves. Mm-hmm. We believe that the normal attrition that we have in the bank, it will be really minimal, the reduction in staff that we'll have to do at the end of the day. Regarding the branches, you know, technology has been bringing for the last decade opportunities for consolidation, but at the end of the day, you have to analyze each branch based on the transaction volume, the clients right. that visit, and the areas, the neighborhoods that you're attending. So we have to go through an exercise to conclude at the end how many opportunities we have or not to do that. But I think the priority is really grow. So, you know, that comes with additional revenue. Achieving growth brings other revenue. If we can achieve that, then we don't have to focus on expense reduction.
And also you have to look at overlapping. You may have, you know, a First Bank and a Santander close to each other, and that might not necessarily be, you know.
But again, that's why I mentioned business volumes, because even though, you know, we may have two branches in the same neighborhood, but both of them are full of clients, and I have some branches right now in Santa Teresa that I either have to do an expansion because I physically need to more space to attend my client needs.
How many branches does First Bank have now?
46.
Okay. Is that a, you know, hypothetically, I don't know if you can speak that way, but is that a healthy number for the size of this market? You know.
Yeah, for having, you know, 20% market share, the number is, you know, somewhere near the 70 branches, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Now, you know, what kind of message are you sending out to the market, you know, to customers, to Puerto Rico through this acquisition?
Well, I think we are creating, you know, an improved and a larger institution to be able to offer service, cover more ground in our neighborhoods, expand the capacity to lend and the capacity to service our clients. That's the message that is the objective of the transaction, to be able to continue to achieve growth and become a larger bank in the island.
And then after the transaction closes, what are your thoughts on how the local market will look, you know, in terms of having three commercial banks? Is that enough for the island's population?
Yeah. Well, the reality is that it's not three. And the reality, I think we have a good opportunity to brief, you know, the reality is the industry has been evolving for the past years, not only today. And yes, there's been significant consolidation in the banking sector for the economic challenges of the recent past. But in that same period of time, the number of institutions will be down to five if you consider that Citibank is still an active competitor in the commercial sector.
Okay.
And Banesco is a new competitor, which is also attending the commercial sector. In addition to that, you have to consider that the industry has evolved, and today, prior to any consolidation, you know, the credit unions,
right,
they have 40% of the branches in the island.
Wow.
Okay? So it's, as a single competitor, they have a very large presence as an industry of multiple entities, some of them with multiple branches, most of them with one branch, they have 40% of the branches. And then you have the digital channels. I don't know your personal experience, but I think we all receive mailers or emails every day of significant offers, which are, Puerto Rico is completely open to the market, to the banks that operate in the U.S. And banks in the U.S. are serving Puerto Rico, not with physical branches, but through their digital channels. So that will continue to evolve and that will continue to grow. And we as well are also increasing our investment in the technology components because we want to make sure that we're very effective in that channel also. So I think the evolution of branches has been reduced all over the world, not only the U.S. or Puerto Rico, and it's been replaced by digital channels. But also there's other competitors that are serving the island. There's finance companies that are not banks on the commercial side and the consumer side that are private entities that don't operate but under a bank license. So the market is not, you know, it's not right to say that this is just three banks because it's not.
Okay. And so that said, do you believe that the market is well served with the number of banks and credit unions that it has?
Yeah, you know, we believe it is. It's a smaller market than it was 10 years ago. And there's more capital to serve the market than there was before. So we believe that as long as, you know, from the lending perspective, you know, and based on regulation, we have to prove that clients have capacity to pay when we give a loan.
Right.
And I think even though we went through several, you know, years of contraction, we have seen over the last couple of years how lending activity has been increased and how the quality of the loans on the books of the bank have been improving and how the losses that were experienced, extreme high losses that the industry experienced through 2015 are being improving over the last years.
And that was my next question. I mean, you're growing despite an economy that isn't really really growing yet. I mean, it we're getting federal money and there's all sorts of activity, but you're growing despite all of this. I mean, that certainly shows faith, right, in what's happening in Puerto Rico?
I think there's pockets of the economy that continue to provide opportunities, sectors of the economy. You know, we look at the consumer, look at unemployment, look at tourism. You know, definitely there's a lot of challenges and we still have a bit ahead of us. You know, we need to have more certainty on the funds that are coming in for reconstruction. They're coming in at a very slow pace and we will anticipate it, but there's activity being generated. And there's other pockets of the economy that continue to show improvement. You know, we're not talking about, you know, an economy of double-digit growth, but it's an economy that over the past 2 years have been stabilizing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, with an stabilizing economy, you know, after cleaning up all the bad assets that were generated during the critical cycles, banks will have an opportunity to grow.
And speaking of that, today you're reporting third quarter results that show growth in net income to $46.3 million from $41.3 million in the same quarter a year ago. And generally, you know, positive results. What are your thoughts on the quarter's performance?
You know, the quarter performance, the core income, it's stable. You know, the increase came actually from a reduced provisioning of bad loans. We got paid certain loans that were not performing, so that released some provision and improved the earnings because of that. So that attests to the fact of what I just mentioned, that, you know, the quality of the asset is giving us the opportunity. We also originated $1.1 billion in loans in the quarter, which is quite healthy activity amongst, you know, significant increase in auto, personal loans, credit cards, and commercial from prior quarters. So we see the economic activity. That's our business, and we look forward to support the recovery of Puerto Rico economy.
Okay, and I guess I'd like to close with your thoughts on the current events on the island, the Supreme Court hearing that we had last week, the reassessment that the Oversight Board has made over, you know, the amount of federal funding that's expected to come in, and the effect of the funding that has already trickled in. Are these all circumstances that you're looking at?
You know, definitely the you know, we are, banks are a reflection of the economic environment where they live, and a reflection of the market, interest rates in the market. So not only we're looking into that, we're also looking at what's happening with rates in the market. The reduction, the action that the Fed has taken in reducing rates, you know, obviously to support, to avoid a recession in the economy, in the U.S. economy, actions that are being taken in other parts of the world regarding rates, that impact, you know, what we do, we impact our business one way or the other, how much the funds that we lend are going to cost at the end. So we take, you know, note of all these facts. The fact that the federal government is paying attention to resolving the Puerto Rico issues, at the end of the day, will reduce uncertainty. We will know what it is, and finally, we have to deal with whatever it is at the end. But I think we will have a more clear path so we can plan accordingly. You know, we always anticipated the risk of federal funding or the amount of funds that were pre-approved originally. So, you know, we expected, we never actually counted on the total funds to be delivered to Puerto Rico. We always also assume in our planning a 10-year period for those funds to come, which is probably a little bit longer than some other people anticipated. But, you know, we analyze other experiences like the New Orleans and Katrina experience, how the money flew, the speed and the amount. So we use some proxies to that. And in addition, and then, you know, obviously, I think the PROMESA is a new law.
Right.
It has to be reviewed and updated like any other law. You know, we see both, you know, good ideas and not so good ideas coming in. But at the end, you know, I think the objective of the law is to put Puerto Rico back in track. What we should have is a balanced budget at the end, and we should not expend more than we make as a country. So we have to have a balanced budget, and is basically the logical path. And secondly, Puerto Rico will settle the debt, and at some point in time will return to the financial market. So that is the role of the board, like it or not.
Right.
They have a role that we have to respect and we have to support, and we have to make sure that it's the only objective. They want to fix the problem first. So we have no need of a board. But until that happens, we all should work together to make it happen. The sooner, the better for Puerto Rico.
Mr. Alemán, thank you very much for your time today. We appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
If you, our listeners, have a topic you would like to hear us discuss in this space, please send us an email to news@newsismybusiness.com with your suggestions. Until next time.
This episode of Dollars and Cents was brought to you by T-Mobile Puerto Rico, Walmart Puerto Rico, and Amy Taylor Fernandez Voiceovers. This episode of Dollars and Cents was brought to you by T-Mobile Puerto Rico, Oriental, Walmart Puerto Rico, and Amy Taylor Fernandez Voiceovers.